Hello everyone. I'll be talking about accretion and storage of phosphorus in stormwater treatment areas, which are big constructed wetlands, the world's largest constructed wetlands in the southern Florida. So these constructed wetlands are, I'll show a map later, but these are located little north of the Everglades National Park. Historically, Everglades National Park and the overall Everglades ecosystem was an oligotrophic system. But as the settlement began, these natural areas were converted for, and there was a change in land use, and these natural treatment marshes were converted for agriculture, for urban areas, and the water was drained out through canals, which resulted in a lot of excess nutrients runoff from the surface. There were inputs in the agricultural area to increase the production, which also resulted into flowing down to the natural ecosystem. And at the same time, there was withdrawal of fresh water from the area to meet up all these demands, which created a lot of wastewater, which also contained a lot of nutrients. So all this resulted into trophic structure changes in the natural area, which is shift in the vegetation predominantly, historically, which was sawgrass, Cladium germanicans, which was converted into strands of cattail, Typha dermanigensis. So to fix this problem under the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System of Clean Water Act, stormwater treatment areas were created. These are huge constructed wetlands, which were situated in an Everglades agricultural area, and which are currently managed by South Florida Water Management District. To give you an idea about the size and scale, these are 6 treatment areas which altogether constitute about 18,000 hectares in land. It began in 1994, and it began as the Everglades Nutrient Removal Project. It was just one small stormwater treatment area which was situated south of Lake Okeechobee, and it started as ENR project. The target phosphorus concentrations for these STAs were very low, to the tune of about 10 to 15 parts per billion of phosphorus. And all it meant was a huge investment of land, money, and time. But till date, about 16, 17 years of operations, and then new STAs came into play. These were added into different places to tackle all the water coming from different sub-basins. It all resulted into the current 18,000 hectares. But there's a big question still out there, which is what would be the long-term sustainability of these STAs? So to give you just a brief note here, that phosphorus as such has no atmospheric component. So it doesn't go into the atmosphere like nitrogen. It's everything that you remove from the water column goes into sediment pool. And so the idea behind constructing these wetlands is as the plants take up phosphorus from the water column, the biomass will be the decaying and decompose. The plants will take up and make it biomass, and then that will be converted into the sediment layer, and that will be the sink for phosphorus. But till this date, in 16 years of operation, we see that the water quality is not meeting the target. So the long-term sustainability is a bigger question. So my research is focused on answering this question, and I'm trying to understand what are the critical processes at the soil-water interface that control long-term phosphorus storage in these STAs. And to answer these questions, one of the first idea was to evaluate rate of accretion of these sediments, because it is the accretion of sediment which will provide the sink of this phosphorus. And if these STAs are continually building on new sediments, then they will continue to store phosphorus at a longer period. And then second part is to determine the effect of STA age on these recently accreted soil. So to see how these accretion is affected over time, whether these STAs are as effective as they are new as they age, or is there an age effect that can be seen in these STAs. So my research site is located in South Florida, and This is the map, zoom map of Florida, and these are, sorry, yeah, these are three STAs. So there are total six STAs which are lined around the rim of these Everglades agricultural area, and these catch the water coming through these canals and treat it before it goes out into the water conservation areas, or which is also known as Everglades Protection Area. So out of these six STAs, I focused on three STAs, STA 1 West, STA 2, and STA 3, 4. And this next slide shows the sampling map. In total, I collected 128 soil cores, and these soil cores were collected parallel to the flow path. So these were in transect, which the flow path in all these STAs were from north to south, except for this cell 5 of STA 1 West, where it moved from this to 5A to 5B. These STAs, it should be noted, these STAs are divided into different cells, and each cell is generally maintained at a different vegetation type. So there are predominantly two types, SAV cells, which stands for submerged aquatic vegetation, and then emergent cells, which is emergent aquatic vegetation, EAV cells. So STA 1 West, there were total 40 cores collected from STA 2, that is this one, 29, and STA 3, 4, 58. And these small boxes in red shows the sites where I collected replicate soil cores. Three soil cores were collected there. So after bringing the soil core back to the lab, I sectioned them each in 2 centimeter depth interval, and then each of these section was treated as a sample, and then I carried out various physiochemical analysis, that is calculating bulk density, and total phosphorus, total carbon, total nitrogen, and then isotopic ratios of nitrogen, N15 and C13. The idea was to plot depth profile after calculating all these properties and see how we and plot those depth profile and see how these properties differ as we go down deeper into the in the soil profile. So before I show you and go into the data sets, I want to give you a brief just outline of the processes that are going on in this STA. This is kind of a model framework how these STAs are operating. So inflow water brings in the phosphorus and other nutrients, and then this is what happens in one cell of an STA. This is the water surface, and this is soil. So the nutrients coming in are taken up, which is denoted by U, or uptake by vegetation, which is partitioned into above ground and below ground biomass. When it is the plant dies, it's converted into standing dead, and then below ground dead. Out of the standing dead, some material leaches out, which is denoted by L, which is fraction that moves out as an outflow. And then there is another fraction which decomposes, which also leaves the system. But there is a crucial fraction which doesn't decompose or doesn't leaches out, which is accreted and which forms this new soil, which provides the sink for phosphorus. So my idea was to find the change point in the depth profile. So I was trying to look at the different parameters and see if I could characterize a boundary layer between a newly accreted soil and the native soil or antecedent soil. So this is just a schematic to give you an idea what my procedure involved. So this is a photograph of a real soil core I collected. And the idea is that this above ground recently accreted soil, the properties would differ from the below ground native soil. And if you plot them on a graph, you will see a clear break point, which you can identify, and then you can quantify how much phosphorus accreted or soil accreted over time in the recently accreted fraction. So these are a few of the representative graphs that I used to plot from the actual data set. So this one towards your left is a total profile, total phosphorus profile in one of the soil cores, and you see a nice break point here. Similar is the case in the bulk density, where you see a break point, which kind of corresponds closely to the other one, which is from total phosphorus. And there's two other properties these are two graphs from N15 and then C13 values. And you see a boundary, a breakpoint, which is which I assume to be corresponding to the boundary between recently accreted soil and the old soil. So, but these graphs were plotted by using just Excel, and if you just eyeball these numbers, you can get at the depth. But to be more on a more robust side, I used a specific software program which is known as SegReg, and basically stands for segmented regression. So the idea was to plot two lines because there was because the data points were showing two different kind of properties, and put line through each of them and use the breakpoint where these two lines intersect. So I used this software program to find that depth at which these two lines intersect with a 90% confidence interval. And this is one of the graphs that was achieved by this process. And you see here, this is a graph using total phosphorus profile, and you see this depth coincides. The x-axis is the depth, and y-axis is the phosphorus values, which is in milligrams of phosphorus per kilogram of soil. And these are different samples. So you see at around 10 centimeter, it gives you the break point. So by using all these, so I use this program to plot each of my soil properties in each of soil cores and go get these values for depth. And then I average them for each site for all properties to get an average accretion depth, and then I average it over each cell to get an overall STA average for soil and phosphorus accretion. So this is coming to my data. This is from one STA, and the x-axis shows values from four different cells. Y-axis is the breakpoint depth or the accretion depth. So using four different parameters, bulk density, total phosphorus, N15 and C13, you see all the depth are pretty close except for in cell 3, which I attribute it to the various kind of management, because these STAs are heavily managed. There is a lot of other disturbances like drought and hurricane season also affects the water delivery to these STAs. There's vegetation changes happening. So these are four different, as I was saying, these four different parameters went into getting one value. This line is a moving average for each cell. And then these values were averaged to get one value for each STA. So by doing so, this is the graph in which I plotted all the three STAs. So x-axis is the average age, and y-axis is the depth of recently accreted soil. So the first symbol here is STA34, which is the youngest. So these three STAs ranged from 6 years, 10 years, and 16 years. STA 1 West, which started as Everglades Nutrient Removal Project, is 16 years of age when I sampled. And you see the depth of recently accreted soil is about 15 centimeter in STA 1 West and about 10 centimeter in STA 3-4. So after finding the accretion soil depth, the second thing was to calculate the rate of accretion, which was easy once we were able to figure out the boundary, because you just divide it with the years of operation, which we have. We know for each STA, then you can get the rate of accretion. Okay. So this is the graph showing the rate of accretion. The y-axis shows soil accretion denoted by centimeter per year, and then x-axis is the age of STA. Don't know why these symbols are all this thing. But as you see, as you will assume, that over time the rate of soil accretion dropped. And STA 1 West has the lowest soil accretion rate, while STA 3-4 has highest. So looking, comparing it with the water quality, because the second hypothesis is if the decrease in soil accretion rate is resulting in the water quality, degrading water quality. So if you look at the open symbols, these denote the flow-weighted mean outflow concentration of phosphorus. And you see a correlation that if the rate of accretion fall down, then the water quality increased. This graph is the mean annual outflow concentration for whole area. It also same showed the same response. So overall conclusions, RAS depth was RAS, recently accreted soil depth was largest in STA with longest operational history. Mean rate was from 1 to 1.7 centimeter per year. The phosphorus followed 1.3 to 3 grams per meter square per year. And soil and phosphorus accretion rate suggests decreasing trend over time. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Eddy, my advisor, and then other funding sources. I'd be happy to take any questions.